Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Why don't we just bring this before the Lord, and then we'll get rolling. Our Father, our God, thank you so much for this time that you have given. You give us the very breath in our lungs, sight in our eyes, hearing in our ears. But mostly, we are thankful for your Son. And what he has done for us, Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed his blood to wash away our sin. It's the greatest message anyone could ever hear. And today we want to glorify you and your Son and just be encouraged through your word, helped, directed. And with your blessing, we will do just that. So we lift this up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this morning, I want to bring you a message. It's a challenge to me. Hopefully it'll be encouraging to you. It is our communication with the Sovereign of the universe. It's about prayer. And, you know, everybody always does, you know, Matthew chapter 6, you know, we always talk about that, you know, our Father who art in heaven. We're going to go over that, but we're going to go over a lot of other things too. And in between different points, I'm going to show you quotes of people that speak on prayer, and maybe it'll just jog something in your mind as we go through this. So the first one, you know that man, Billy Graham. He says, prayer is not monologue, it's dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is its most essential part. Okay, just keep that in mind. Prayer is not monologue, it's dialogue. Okay, so let's talk about the basics. What is prayer? Go through it. Prayer is communicating with the God of the universe. It's essentially what it is, boiled down to its basic element. It is not passive or meditative reflection. That is something completely different. That's when you read the word and you think about it. Prayer is something completely different. Prayer is communication with the God who asked you to talk to him. Okay? Prayer is the primary way for a believer to communicate with the Lord Jesus. It is essential, and we're gonna get into some things on this. We communicate our emotions, hurts, joys, pains, wants, needs, desires, praise. There's many other things that we communicate to our Father in heaven, and it's unique to every individual. Even though there are some things that we all must do, it's unique because we are all unique. We are all unique. So make it your own. Make it your own. Okay? There's a man in time, ages past, I mean, he lived a long time ago, Brother Lawrence, maybe you've heard of him. He said this, we ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity. Speak to him frankly and plainly and implore his assistance in our affairs. Brother Lawrence was one of those men, he talked to God. If you read about Brother Lawrence, he just talked to God as you would talk to a friend. Now, he was a monk and different things like that, but it was plain, it was simple, it was just talking to God about everything every day. Whatever Brother Lawrence was doing, he was talking to the Lord about it. And so should we. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. Small thing, big thing. Doesn't matter. Prayer, what is it? What is prayer? We kind of talked about the basic of it. It's seeking the God of the universe. And I'm going to be running through some scriptures today. I mean, I've got a ton, and I'm going to be reading them right off here. So Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He says this, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David cried out to the Lord. He was seeking the God of the universe. Crying out to Him. That's what prayer is. Seeking the God of the universe. The one true God. Prayer is seeking God's favor. We're going to look at Exodus 32:11. Again, we're going to jump around, and you better either you're good at your Bible drills or you're listening, because that's the way it's going to be. So Exodus 32:11 said, "But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?'" Moses was seeking to go before God for the people, right? They were grumbling. And he was like, "Lord, don't destroy your people. Have mercy." Right? We seek his favor. And you can do that when you're praying. Prayer is drawing near to God. Drawing near to God. Psalm 73:28 says this, "But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." In prayer, you draw yourself near to the one you're talking to. And that would be the Lord of the universe. That's what you're doing. I want to come into your presence. I want to talk to you. Now, I understand God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere. He's right here with us today. But for you to enter into his presence, pray. And go right before the throne of grace. Because that's what he wants us to do. Prayer is pouring out your heart to God. Prayer is pouring out your heart to God. 1 Samuel 1:15. Remember Hannah? "Hannah answered, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord.'" She was sad. She didn't have any children. And what did she do? She went to the temple and she prayed. She poured her heart out. That's like giving up every last ounce that you have because you have nowhere else to go. Right? And that's what Hannah was doing. And that's what we can do. We can go before the Lord. End of the road. End of the road. Nowhere else. Really, it should be the first place, not the last place that you go. Prayer is crying out to heaven. 2 Chronicles 32:20 says, "Then Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed because of this and cried to heaven." Understand where the Lord lives, where his throne is at. Heaven is his domain. And just one way to put it, it's crying up to heaven. Crying upwards to where God is. And that's what even Isaiah did and Hezekiah did. Prayer is kneeling before the Father. Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." When you come before the Father, do you know why you bow the knee? Because you want his will, not yours. And you're acknowledging he's the sovereign of the universe. He's in control, I'm not. You bow the knee, right? Just like if you would, if you were before, you know, a great, I want to say like Queen Elizabeth, the eternal queen of England. Love that lady. But, you know, if you were to go before a great person in this world, you might bow the knee because they hold such a grand... You know, maybe not today because they're all in league to destroy us all. But anyway, that's what you would do to God. You would bow the knee. Lastly, prayer is seeking God's best in this world. Psalm 122, verse 9 says, "For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." In other words, the psalmist is saying, I'm doing this for the sake of somebody else. For the house of the Lord. For your people. In that case, it would be the children of Israel. I'm going before God for the children of Israel, for the people of the United States, for the people of this chapel, for the people of X. You put it in there. That's what it is. Okay? Just some thoughts out of the scripture, what prayer is, how prayer has been used, what the people of the Bible pray, and put it together. You've probably heard of this guy, Dwight Lyman Moody, right? Founder of what? named after Moody Bibleist to Chicago. He said this: spread out your petition before God and then say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus prayed that. The sweetest lesson I have learned in God's school is to let the Lord choose for me. And I tell you what, D.L. Moody was pretty amazing. He made it a thing in his heart he would witness to at least one person a day. One person a day. And he did, if not more. But I love when he prayed. What do you want, Lord? What do you want for me? Show me. Right? Let's talk a little technical term here, Greek words for prayer. And even going through the Greek words, we're going to learn some things. And they're going to be kind of small. Diomai, to beg, beseech, bind oneself, petition, pray, make requests. See, there's different words in our New Testament and in our Old Testament used for prayer. They're not all just the word prayer. Okay? It's almost like the word love. We have the word love, right? But in the Greek, there's four words. In the New Testament, they mainly use three. Agape, eros, and phileo. Right? But in the Greek for prayer, there's a bunch. So like Luke 5:12 or Luke 9:38, I'm going to read that one. It says, "And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, 'Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child.'" I beg you. You can pray like that. "Lord, I'm begging you. Please do this. Help me. Help my son. Help my friend." Parakaleo, to call near, to invoke, to beseech, to entreat. Pray. Matthew 8:5 and 26:53. I'm going to read the second one. It says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" There's the word appeal. I'm appealing to my Father. Alteo, to ask, to beg, to call for, or desire. Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it will be given to you." Ask. There's that word. You know it. You know the prayer. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask. Alteo. Ask. You must ask. We're going to see a good quote on that one coming up. Eritoio, to interrogate, request, ask, beseech, entreat, pray. A lot of these have the same, you know, kind of terminology, but they're different words. I'm going to go Luke 11:37. It says, "While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table." It's a request to ask somebody. There's another word. I'm not even going to try this one. Greek word. Entugechano. Listen, I've only taken a semester of Greek. You have to forgive me, okay? And I'm retaking it because I didn't do very well. So, please have some grace. I'm the old man. Romans 8:27 says, "And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Intercession. Going before God for someone else. Interceding. Okay. There's some more. We're not done. You're still with your Greek lessons. You're not getting out of it that easy. Desis, a petition, a prayer, request, or supplication. Hebrews 5:7 said, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." Supplications, prayers, desis. Good word for that. Hikateria, approach, entreaty, supplication. I think that's Hebrews 5:7. You have prayer, both the word prayer and the word supplication in 5:7. It's both of those words together. And then this word, to pray, supplicate, to worship, again, I'm not going to try it. I think this one is Matthew 5:44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Pray for those who persecute you. You ever do that? Yes. It's required. It's asked. And then this really long Hooper in Tug Chano word, to intercede on behalf and make intercession. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with words that cannot, or groanings too deep for words. Intercession. And even the Spirit, when we can't pray, intercedes for us. And notice it says with words that are groanings too deep for words, or words that have no expression. In other words, silent. The Spirit is praying for you. It's not a private prayer language in mumbo jumbo language. It's not what it is. Okay? You know this guy? Benjamin Franklin? Look what he said about the founding of our nation. He said, "Gentlemen, I have lived a long time and I am convinced that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid. I move that prayer imploring the assistance of heaven be held every morning before we proceed to business." That's wise. That's wise. That's why America was so special. It was built upon our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. But they knew that it was God who governed in the affairs of men, and He had to be the center focus. Now, we know that in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, there were some men who wanted Jesus to be in there. But you could not do that, but that would put one religion over the other. But they used God because they knew you can't leave Him out. Right? You can't leave Him out. Because when you leave Him out, everything goes to garbage. Right? When prayer was taken out of schools, when God was taken out of schools, if you look at the statistics, our schools have gone to the dogs. Why? Because they chose to forget God. And when you choose to forget God, especially willingly, you know what He says? Romans 1? Fine. Go do what you want. But you're going to pay for it. And we have. We absolutely have. And Benjamin Franklin was right. For so long our country was blessed, I'm not sure it is anymore. I think we've maybe walked off a cliff. But we'll see. Who should pray? Who should pray? Good question. Thanks for asking, Bill. The children of God should have a natural desire to pray. A natural desire. Luke 11, verse 1. Which reads, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.' For a believer, it should be a natural inclination for you to want to talk to your Father." Fact. Amen. Believers should have a natural desire to pray. The children of God should continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And we're going to look at Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." Be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving." So in other words, prayer is a constant thing for the children of God. Constant. Now a lot of times what happens is we get busy. Right? In our day, things come and the world starts to encroach and we forget. There could also be the issue that, you know what, we think we can handle it. Right? We're going along, "Oh, I know how this works. I know how this goes together. I know how to do this." And we don't talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord first, even if you know what you're doing. Talk to Him first. Lay it before the Lord. Put everything before the Lord. All believers are to be devoted to prayer. Acts 1:14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to what? Prayer. Together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. Together, all of them, everybody. Acts 6:4 said to the disciples, they said, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Lord." We will devote ourselves. You hear that word, devote? In other words, it means I'm setting in my heart, I am going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm devoting myself. And we're going to see some reasons why as we go through this. We're going to see some reasons why. Who should pray? Continuing on. It is true that God does not hear sinners. Am I right on this one? There's some scriptures. John 9:31 says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him." If there is sin in your life, He will not listen. You need to ask forgiveness of that sin. Get back in fellowship, and then He will listen. Psalm 66:18 said, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Right? Because sin is what blocks our fellowship with God. Just like Adam in the garden. When he sinned, no more fellowship. And Adam ran. He's like, I don't want to see him. Same thing with us. Same thing with us. It is also true that God wants sinners to pray for forgiveness. Right? Unbelievers, what does it say? Actually, I'm going to go to Isaiah 55. It says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." God wants the sinner to pray for forgiveness. Please forgive my sin. Please save me. That's the prayer that God wants to hear from a sinner. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." You cannot hide anyway from God, even though people think they can. You can't hide. So you might as well just come clean. Because you're going to come clean one day, and if it's done before the great white throne, it's over. Right? It's over. This goes for believers and unbelievers. Now, I'm not saying that a believer can lose his salvation. That's hokey. It can't happen. But when a believer sins, we also must confess that, go before God and ask for forgiveness. Right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." It's a promise to the children of Israel, but it's absolutely true for us. When we sin, we need to get that clean. And don't keep a long list. Keep the list short. If you mess up, go right before Him. You can do that. Because we have access to the throne of grace. Christ made that available, right? That veil was torn in two. Access to the Father. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. So, you ever heard of this guy? Andrew Murray, great man of prayer, said this: "Beware in your prayers, above everything else, of limiting God. Not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what He can do." Isn't it interesting? As humans, we tend to try to work out in our mind what we think God's going to do in this certain situation. And God's going like, "No, I'm doing it my way for my glory, that you see that I'm the one who did it." So don't limit God. Don't limit Him by thinking you know what He's going to do. You don't. We don't. How should we pray? Now we're starting to get into it. How do we pray? Believers must come to God in faith. James 1:5-7. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." Right? Come to God in faith. James 1:6 says, "Let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. If you are doubting God, He's not going to answer you. Don't doubt. Go in faith. But just like D.L. Moody, say, "You know what? Not my will, but yours." Just trust the Lord. Prayer should be addressed to God the Father. Here's something interesting that people do and people don't do. Okay? Prayers should be addressed to God the Father. Okay? Matthew 6:9, pray like this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Colossians 1:3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Some people I've heard pray to the Holy Spirit. Never in Scripture do you see praying to the Holy Spirit. Never. He helps you pray. but we pray to the Father. And that's how Jesus, even when he prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven," he gave us a model for what to do. Prayers must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. They must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. John 14. "Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." John 14, 14. "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now, this is not health, wealth. This is not, "I want a BMW." This is not, "Give me a mansion." This is asking in his will. When I ask in the name of Jesus, I'm thinking to myself, when Jesus was on earth and praying to the Father, he prayed according to the will of the Father. So when I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for his will, is what I'm asking. And if you ask according to his will, he will answer. Maybe not immediately, but he will. And then, prayer should be in the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is the difference with some of, you know, our brethren that believe you pray to the Spirit. You don't do that. Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Praying at all times in the Spirit. In other words, in faith, in righteousness, with a right standing before God, I want to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be standing rightly before God when I pray. And the Holy Spirit not only can intercede for me when I don't know what to say, but he is God in the flesh. He knows exactly what we're talking about. He's with us all the time. So how should we pray? Those are some things to think about. We're going to look at this. Prayer can be audible or silent. Amen to that, right? It can be. There are times to pray out loud. There are times to pray within yourself. You know, you're at a wedding, you're praying out loud, you're here, you're there, you're eating dinner at lunch, you go to a restaurant, you can pray. But I heard a story Chris told of being out in New York City, and this guy came, and Chris kind of felt like this man was demon-possessed. And under his breath, he prayed, "The Lord rebuke you." Nobody heard him. Right? He just prayed under his breath. And the man, his eyes went wide, and he stopped, and he ran and tucked it around the corner and was kind of like peeking. Right? There are times to pray out loud. There are times to pray silently. But at all times, pray. Prayer could be public or it can be private. Right? It doesn't matter where. You can pray in front of people. You can pray in your prayer closet. You can pray in your bedroom. You can pray wherever. You can pray here. You can pray there. They can't stop you. No one can stop you from praying. You know that? They may want you to, and people may say, "Don't pray for me. Make me." Right? Can't stop me. Can't stop people from praying. You may have taken it out of schools. You ever hear the story? You may have taken it out of schools. But when you get that really, really hard test, I bet there are people who are still praying, "God help me pass." Mm-hmm. Right? Can't stop it. Prayer can be formal or informal. You know, "Dearest Lord," you know, you hear these. That's fine. And it can be informal. It can be real quick. It can be by a child. It can be by whoever. It doesn't matter. There are times such as weddings, other times such as meals. They can be short or long. They can be short or long, right? Jesus, in the days, in Luke 6:12, in the days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. All night. You can actually do that. We're lazy. We like our sleep. We don't pray all night. This is something odd to us. Matthew 14:30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid." Remember Peter walking on the water? The shortest prayer in the Bible. What did he say? "Lord, save me." Three words. Can you pray that? Absolutely. The fireman rushing into the fire. I don't think he's going to kneel at the doorstep and pray this long, drawn-out prayer. He's going to go, "Lord, protect me," as he's running into the fire. Right? You can do that. That's prayer. and God wants to hear. Prayer should be done often. We've kind of gone over this, but Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Just because it doesn't look like God is listening doesn't mean he's not listening. If you're right with God, he's listening. Right? Ephesians 6:18 says, praying all times in the Spirit, not to the Spirit, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. E.M. Bounds, you ever heard him? Never heard of E.M. Bounds? Yep, another man of prayer. He said, prayer is a trade to be learned. We must be apprentices and serve our time at it. Painstaking care, much thought, practice, and labor are required to be a skillful tradesman in praying. Practice in this, as well as in other trades, makes perfect. In other words, I don't know how to pray. Yeah, guess what? I didn't know how to pray either. I still am learning how to pray. But what's the easiest way to learn how to pray is to keep praying. Another way to learn how to pray is to read about people who pray in the Bible. And not just in the New Testament, go into the Old Testament. Read about how Daniel prayed or Isaiah prayed. Look at how they prayed. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We want to touch that. And see how Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesus. It's different than how we pray sometimes. How should we not pray? How should we not pray? Oh, there's rules? Yes. Suggestions. We should not use prayer to show our holiness or pride. Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. They must be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. We are not to be like this. This is not a show for us. Right? We're not on show. So it's not about us. We should not use many words when few can suffice. Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You've seen this. A lot of people, they like to wax eloquent when they pray, right? And they spin theological, you know, doctrine while they're going along. No. Remember what Brother Warren said. Just pray. Speak simple words. Talk to your Father. It doesn't need to be really deep theological, you know. I once knew a man, and that's exactly what he would do, and it would be 20 minutes later, and you're like, stop. It's not what it's about. It's not what prayer is. We should not repeat ourselves or words, use words repetitively, right? Matthew 6:7 is right there. The King James translated as vain repetitions. And this is where you get to people like the translation, bada, bada, bada. It's the same word being used over and over and over. Don't do that. And I know that like the charismatic speaking in tongues, this is what they do. It's repetitious like that. And God says, don't do that. Don't use that repetitious word over and over. The ESV translated, keeping up empty phrases. So many words, once few could suffice, teach doctrine or giving a lecture while praying. When you pray, you're just talking with your Father. So don't do those things. Okay? Charles Spurgeon, you heard him? Absolutely. Prince of preachers. Said, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. If you may have everything by asking in his name and nothing without asking, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is. Isn't that interesting? That is absolutely true. Prayer is absolutely vital for a Christian. Because if you do not ask, you do not receive. See, but here's the problem in America. America, just because of the way America is, we're blessed anyway. And a lot of things just happen because we're in America. But if you were in China or North Korea or Iran, things would not be happening like this. And they are on their knees praying. We're just too fat and lazy. We need to get back to this. We need to get back to prayer. The model of prayer, and this is Matthew chapter 6, right? There is a model of prayer. It must not be showy or prideful. We've read that already. Do not be like the hypocrites. Matthew 6:5. It must be out of humility. In verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who sees you in secret. A lot of people actually have a little closet that they go in and pray. In fact, I think there was a movie where the woman would go into her closet and she had like sticky notes all over the place. And that's what it was. It must be out of humility. It must not be wordy, contain useless repetitions. We see that in verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases. You must understand that the Father already knows what you will say. He already knows. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So why do I pray if He already knows what I'm going to say? Because He asked you to. Because even though He knows what you're going to say, He wants to hear what you're going to say. And if you don't pray, it's on you. He wants to hear it. He desires to hear His children ask for things. You know, it's like my son Tommy. My son Tommy, when he was growing up, we would ask him for his Christmas list or his birthday list, and he wouldn't give us one. I want to bless my son. You know what I mean? I want him to have some good things. Right? But he wouldn't give us a list. He wouldn't ask for things. We went, there's a while ago, we went to Disney, and, you know, I want to give him a shirt, I want to give him a, you know, a pin or something like that, and Don was like, no. Well, I was like, fine, and I found him one, and it was a picture of Grumpy, the Seven Dwarfs. It was like, I tried to be happy, but then I didn't like that, so I went back to my normal, right? It's just, that's Tommy, you know? Well, God wants to hear you. He wants to hear you ask, pray, beseech, plead. Even though He knows already what you're going to say. It doesn't matter. And actually, it's good He knows what you're going to say. Because He is the God of the universe, isn't He? He is. And then you must acknowledge the Maker of heaven and earth, the Holy One, verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Who are you talking to? You got to acknowledge who you're talking to. You're talking to the Sovereign of the universe. Right? He's not a bubblegum machine where you put a quarter in and you get out a gumball. He's not that. He is the God of the universe. It keeps going. In verse 10, you should align yourself in your will with the will of the Father. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want His will, not mine. You can ask for your needs. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You must make sure all your sin is forgiven. Forgive us our debts. Right? We've talked about this. He will not listen if there is iniquity in the way. You must also make sure you forgive others of their sins against you. And that is as we have also forgiven our debtors. In other words, you can't hold grudges. You can't hold things against people. You have to forgive them. Now, forget, that's a whole other study. Forget this is a transaction, the whole nine yards. But you have to forgive others. God forgave you every dirty sin that you ever did. And you're going to hold it against that guy because he took a quarter. Right? Bad move. Don't do that. You can ask for strength to walk in this world and fight against sin, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us. C.S. Lewis, in Gethsemane, the holiest of all petitioners, prayed 3 times that a certain cup might pass from him. It did not. After that, the idea that prayer is recommended to us as a sort of infallible gimmick may be dismissed. In other words, we're not just playing a game here. Even Jesus prayed to take this cup, and God said no. It's not just a bubblegum machine. This is serious. And we need to take it that way. What are some different ways? I'm going to start rolling. Because I want to actually give you the quotes. I think the quotes are the cool thing. Giving thanks is a way that we can pray, right? Giving thanks. It's the perfect way we can show how grateful we are for what He has allowed, what He has given, what He has carried us through. We thank Him for who He is. And there's scripture, like 1 Chronicles 16. We've already gone over that. We can thank Him for what He's done. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, you read through the Psalms, they're always giving thanks to God for what He's done, what He's created. Psalm 9, right? We can thank Him for His salvation, just like this morning, the Lord's Supper. We thank Him for His salvation, what He's done for us. But we can thank Him for saving us from all manner of things. Right? We can give Him adoration. We can give Him adoration. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. That's adoration. When you're praising the Lord, that's adoration. You're saying how worthy He is, how great He is, how much you love Him. What about this one? Asking forgiveness. It's another way that we can pray. It's required for our sin. We need to ask forgiveness for ourselves, and we can ask for others that they would come to Christ. We should always confess our individual sins. We know this. 1 John 1:9 is a huge one, right? We know that, but there are others. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Just like we can confess national or congregational sins. I can pray for my nation. I can pray for my country. I can pray for my chapel. I can pray for my family. Just like Daniel did in 9:20. Or Isaiah in 6:5. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among the people of unclean lips. How about Charles Finney? You know Charles Finney? Some men will spin out a long prayer telling God who and what He is, or they pray out loud a whole system of divinity. Some people preach, others exhort the people till everybody wishes they would stop, and God wishes so too, most undoubtedly. I love it. He's like point blank, Charles Finney. And it's true. Right? Who are we talking to? What are we trying to do? Intercession means we go before the Lord on someone else's behalf. We petition the Almighty that believers may grow. Ephesians 1:15 through 19. Read it. What does it say? It says that the God of glory, our God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, listen to how He prays, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might. You ever pray like that? Probably not. That's amazing prayer from Paul. Pray like that. You can pray that for people. That's amazing. It's amazing. Believers would be healed. You can actually pray for healing of believers. Did you know that? You can do that. We do it a lot, right? James 5:14, if anyone is sick, let us call the elders, have them come over. And they pray over the person. Prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that God will absolutely heal, but we still want to ask that believers would be blessed of the Lord. 2 Corinthians, you must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. I want to see missionaries blessed and the gospel go out. I want to see my friends go out and preach the gospel and people get saved. I want to see these things. Pray about it. Right? Intercession means we go before the Lord on someone else's behalf. We petition the Almighty for a group that unbelievers would turn to the Lord to be saved. Romans 10:1. Brothers, you ever get that? Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray for unbelievers. Nowhere does it say it. Really? Romans 10:1. Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for them, the Israelites, is that they may be saved. Huh. That's what Paul said. Paul prayed that people would be saved. For both persecuted believers and those that persecute them, right? We already read Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, right? For the peace of Jerusalem. You ever pray for Jerusalem? Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. I pray for Jerusalem. I pray for the Jews. I pray for the Israelites. You know, I know there is a couple trembling, and there are nations around them, and I know there's trouble and things in the world, but I want them to be saved. I want them to be at peace. We must pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy, right? First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. It's kind of tough when your king is a Caesar, but you still do it. You still do it. It's tough. It's easy to pray when it's your guy. It's hard to pray when it's a bad guy. Doesn't matter. Let it rain. Know him? Heard him? This much is sure in the churches, forgetting party labels. The smallest meeting numerically is the prayer meeting. If weak in prayer, we are weak everywhere. Prayer has to become a necessity. If you want to win, you have to pray. Without prayer, you lose. It's what Ravenhill is saying. We face hardships, sadness. We can bring these things before our God. We can ask for deliverance from hardship. We can. Absolutely true. Psalm 107, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them. We can ask for help in time of need. We know this scripture. Let us then draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Which means we need to always be praying. We can ask to be transformed. We can ask to be transformed. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I want to be like your Son. Transform me. Now that may hurt when He answers. E.M. Bounds. I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough on God. They just drop down and say a few words, then jump up and forget it and expect God to answer them. Such praying always reminds me of the small boy ringing his neighbor's doorbell and then running away as fast as he can go. Let's not be like that. It's not what prayer is. Continue on. It can be done alone. We've already gone over some of these things. We can be done in a group, right? Jesus, in Matthew 26, Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He wanted them to pray with Him as He was praying. You can pray if you want. You can pray alone if you want. Prayer should be done where needed. We know this. We've gone over. Wherever and whenever it's needed. Prayer should be done at all times. I love 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire that in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. All times. All times. One of the things about the assembly is we should pray together when the assembly meets. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. The early church met on the first day of the week to pray. Okay, Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, I love the assemblies because they do these things for the most part, right? We teach the apostles' doctrine. It's not much. When you come to an assembly, you don't get much. You don't get rock and roll. You don't get the 15-minute sermonette for Christianettes. You get, usually, meat, right? You get fellowship. And it should be great fellowship between the believers. Breaking of bread, I think, is one of the most important meetings that the assemblies keep. And it's done every week, as it should be. But then it says prayers. We should be praying. We should be praying. And praying a lot. Now, what we've done at Calvary, and I'll just make the suggestion, is on Wednesdays during the summer, we have studies and different men, and the young men get up. We give them time that the young men can get up and do a teaching. But once a month is prayer night. So we come, we sing a little bit, and then we take prayer requests, and then the women go off into that room, and the men go into this room. Because normally when the church meets, the women are silent. They don't pray. They don't speak. But they want to. They want to pray. So split them up. Send the women off into that room and send the men off into that room and the women all pray, and the men all pray together. It's fantastic. And then when you're done, you come back together, you know, you close in prayer, and it's over. It's just a way so that the women can pray when the assembly meets. All right? Just a thought, just a thing. And last but not least, Matthew Henry. Some of you might have his commentary on your shelf. He was a great thinker. Yeah, look, I know. This was the best picture I could find of him. Some of them, his face was really, like, big. This was, like, the most nicest. But he said, "We read of preaching the word out of season, but we do not read of praying out of season, for that it is never out of season." Praying is never out of season. Never. So friends and family, we need to pray. We need to be devoted to prayer. Devoted. And again, just like anything, the more you practice, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So if you're saying to yourself, "Man, I can't, it's hard, and, you know, I struggle and this, you know," yeah, we do. It's okay. Keep going. You know, I'm doing push-ups every day, right? And I want to get more. I do 25 and my arms are burning, right? I want to get to 30 and it seems like I'm never going to get there. So do I quit? No. You keep going. And maybe one day I'll get to 26. No, maybe I'll just make it. You know, "Whoa, look, I did 26. Maybe 26 and a half. And I'll get like halfway up." You got to keep going. Set the goal and do it. That's what I say. Don't quit. All right. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord. We are so grateful you are our Father, that you love us, that you listen to us, you hear us. We are so thankful that you have asked us to come into your presence and talk to you. Help us, Lord, to pray. Teach us to pray. Help us to pray whenever needed, wherever needed, anytime, any place, anything. Help us to become a people of prayer, because we want to win. We want you to win, and we want things to happen. And it's only by asking. Help us to do this. Take us from here with your blessing. Let this be one of the things that we add to the list of things that we desire. And we just give you great thanks. We give you all the glory. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us follow the number 672 in the red book, the first and last verse.